Well, amen. The lighthouse is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous blessing for the lighthouse. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verse 12 down to verse 19 tonight. Colossians chapter 1. If you'd like to stand with me, you can stand tonight. We'll read the Word of God together. The Bible says in Colossians in chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, thanking you, Lord God, for just being who you are. And thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for your church. And Father, as we have spent some time looking back over the last 35 years, it's just been a blessing to be able to look back to see the hand of God working in so many different ways, bringing us to where we're at tonight. I thank you for it. As we've assembled here this afternoon, and Lord, we have our church family from all around viewing this service through the live stream, I pray that you would meet with every home and meet with us here and just help us to sense your presence. Pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here we find the Apostle Paul is writing to the church concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated. That's where we was under the power of darkness, and he's translated us from that place into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul is stating that the church ought to be thankful for our Savior, for Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And then if we look at verse 18, and it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. I believe that that's something else that Paul was presenting to the believers there in Colossae, that they needed to be thankful for the church that Jesus Christ established when he was here. Matter of fact, in verse 12, he says this, he says, giving thanks unto the Father. I believe that all believers ought to give thanks to God for the church. As we think of the church, the most important thing that we realize concerning the biblical church is that Christ has to have the preeminence. And so we give thanks for Christ who has the preeminence. That means that he has the superiority over all things. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that directs us. It's his church. As I think back for 35 years, I know that that's exactly what we wanted to do in establishing the church. We wanted to establish the church that God wanted to have established. And through the 35 years, what a blessing it is to see that those who have come into this church to be able to make up this body. And everyone coming into this church, I believe that we ought to be able to thank God for the preeminence, for the kind of church that we have, where Jesus has the preeminence over all things. The second thing, as I look to here and understand what we have been given by the Father concerning the Son, is we need to give thanks for being the pillar of truth. The church that Jesus Christ established, as Paul would write to Timothy, he says this in verse 15 of chapter 3, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." What a blessing it is to know that I'm a part of a church that's being taught Bible. In our nurseries, in our toddler classes, through every Sunday school and junior church, and every service that we have in this auditorium, the Word of God is opened, and people are being taught the truth. Oh, to thank God for being a part of a church that's teaching the truth. Every husband ought to be thankful that their wives are being taught the truth. Every wife ought to be thankful that their husbands are being taught the truth. Every couple that have children ought to be thankful that their children are being taught the truth. All that come through the doors of Christ's church is being exposed to the truth that can change their lives and allow them to have the blessings of God. Give thanks for that. As we think of what Paul is writing to the church at Colossae there and giving thanks for being a family. Even in Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, the house of God. As he writes to the church in Galatia, he speaks of it being the household of faith. And the true church that Jesus established is a family. It's a family that he established with positions. He established the positions within the body. He calls the church the body and the positions filled with different ones. We know that God established the position of a pastor and staff, and what a blessing it is to be able to have the pastor, to the staff, to preach the word of God and to feed the flock of God which are amongst them, knowing that God has empowered them to do so. The body that has the deacons that are to assist in the leadership of the church and the trustees and all the positions of helps. And every church member that has made up and continues to make up this body, the Lighthouse Baptist Church, need to be able to give thanks for it being the vehicle that God has established to work through throughout this New Testament church age. We've been some 2,000 years into this New Testament church age, and God has worked mightily through the church in these years. But yet we have some of the most important years to come, most critical years to come, because I believe that we are very close to, as we even sang about it tonight, the rapture of the church and being able to be called up together to be with the Lord in the air. I think that what we're experiencing even now is preparing the church for what we will experience in greater detail as the end time approaches and we face more and more battles. We need to continue to rely upon Jesus having the preeminence in his church and let the church light shine as God would have it to shine. But what a blessing it is to be a part of that vehicle that God has established to work through, because that's the most important thing. No matter what it is that we go through, we have God. As we preached on this morning, we have his presence. And this day, Today we celebrate 35 years of being this kind of church. 35 years of being God's church. Beginning some 35 years ago in the month of April, 1985, as we held our first services, it had been the Sunday, a Sunday right after Easter, at 5438 East Washington Street. That very first church service in that upper room, there was 24 in attendance. We established, God established His church with those members, charter members that were there in that room. For a year and a half, we met in that upper room over on East Washington Street. We actually grew in that year and a half. I believe at one point the high attendance was 104 in that year and a half. After that year and a half and the difficulties of being where we was at in a storefront and being having to climb the stairs to get to services in a place that was not very safe to be able to go and to park in the alleys around back to be able to come to the evening service. And they actually started losing some membership because of some of that. And I remember praying hard as the church was praying hard and even adding prayer and fasting that God would give us a building, a place that we could establish as our own. And I remember on that Saturday night, and I was, as my custom is, to be at the church preparing myself for the next day and praying for the membership of the church. And I knew it was on my mind, it was heavily on my heart, my mind, that we needed a church. And I was actually crying out to God to give us a church, building, property. And the phone rang at 9 o'clock while I was on my face before the Lord. And I remember thinking, can't believe somebody be calling the church at 9 o'clock at night. And I didn't really want to answer the phone, but something led me to pick it up. And it was American Baptist Association state rep. His name was Larry Sayre. And he said, you know, I just got back in town and I received the message that you left on my phone. I didn't even realize, I had called so many. I called every denomination, every head of it, everything, thinking if you had a building, we want it. We're interested in it. And that was just one of the calls that I had made. And he was returning my call, actually. And he said, we're closing a small church building over off of 6950 East Raymond Street. And we haven't even put it up for sale yet, but we will be. Just thought that I would call and let you know that it was going to be coming available. That was that Saturday night, and after I got off the phone with Larry Sayre, I drove over here, and as soon as I pulled into a little gravel parking lot and I seen that little brick building, I knew this was the place. And I remember that night, I went up to the front of the door, and I thanked God for it, claimed it for His church. As a 30-year-old, young pastor, naive, I remember being so excited that next Sunday morning to tell the church family that God had given us a building. I just heard about it that Saturday night, but I was so confident that I announced that next Sunday morning, that Sunday morning, that God had given us a building. Monday came around and I called and I told him he didn't need to put it on to list it for sale. I said, God's going to give us the building. I offered him what I thought we would be able to come up with, and that was a $90,000. And I was going to have the bank finance it. It was on 5 acres of ground. It was just a little parking lot, a little gravel parking lot with a very funny shaped brick building on it. And we offered them $90,000. And on Wednesday, I told the church that we offered them the $90,000. I was convinced they would receive it. And so the church come over here after services, and all of us held hands outside the doors to the building. And we thank God for this building. On Thursday, the very next day, they rejected the $90,000 and told me that they were probably going to go ahead and put it in the hands of a realtor because they thought they could get more money for it. That was on Thursday. I was grieving Friday, all day Friday and Saturday. And Saturday night, I got back in my office. I was preaching on Joshua that next Sunday. And something told me if it worked for Joshua, that it ought to work for me. It's the same God that we serve. I remember coming over here in January, into January, and it was about 6 inches of snow on the ground. It was snowing, very cold and windy. But I remember Joshua on the seventh day, he marched around the city of Jericho 7 times and shouted for the glory of the Lord. And so I got out of my car and I started walking around this building. The lights come on over at Waterman's. I could just feel people watching me thinking that, who's that nut out there walking around that building? I made it around the first time, and I thought, maybe once is enough. And I thought, no, it was 7 times on the seventh day. I continued to walk around it. Got about the third trip around, I started getting a little bit giddy and started laughing at myself for doing what I was doing. But I continued to march around it. I walked around it 7 times. I walked around it. I went up to the door. And I thanked God for the building. On Monday, I preached all day on Sunday with this on my heart. I never told the church. On Monday, Larry Sarah called me. And he said, we've been thinking about your offer. Said, we can't do that. He said, but the board has agreed to give it to you if you will just come underneath the umbrella of the American Baptist Association. And I wanted to do that. And then right after they gave it to me, I wanted to pull out of the American Baptist Association. And I thought, that's just not the way I should do it. And I said, Larry, I appreciate your offer. I said, but God wanted this to be established as an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I said, we're going to remain an independent fundamental Baptist church. But I said, I've been praying about it, and I found out after you told me that they wouldn't receive the $90,000, the bank called me as well that very same week and said, we didn't realize you was trying to get money for a church. For the church, we can't loan you the money. And so I said, Larry, I want you to do this. I want you to go back to the board. I want you to counter with $75,000 and they finance it. And he kind of laughed and he said, you're serious? And I remember saying, I am serious. I said, this is what God has for us. And he said, all right, I'll do it. And he said, but I don't think that they're going to go for it. That Wednesday, he called me back, and he says, I don't believe it. He said, but the board agreed to sell it to you, your church, for $75,000, and they're going to finance it for you. We moved in that next Sunday. Never had any paperwork, never signed anything. We just come over, and we've been meeting here ever since. That was in February of 1987. We've moved into 6950 East Raymond Street. Immediately, God started blessing, and we started growing. We grew out of that building from 1988, the year of our first building project, through 2006, we built 9 building projects in 18 years. Every 2 years, we were building or remodeling Our old sanctuary was one, but 8 different building projects and 9 different buildings and then 9 different projects. God built buildings to house his church because it was his church. He continued to send us through those years, those in whom needed us and whom we needed. Plumbers, electricians, carpenters, people that are just willing to swing a hammer. And we built buildings. 1994, possibly one of the largest of the building projects, the only one that we contracted out was the building of this sanctuary. In 1994, we had grown to the place that we needed a large sanctuary, and this sanctuary was built to seat 700 with the balcony. We did not put the balcony in to start with. We didn't put that in until the year 2000. But toward the end of it, it's the only one that we hired somebody else to oversee, and they went bankrupt. And so we had to finish the building in order to be able to have services inside of it. I remember 1994, Brother Merv and myself was here on the Friday night, or actually it was 2 a.m. Saturday morning, finishing up painting the brackets on these beams. And two of us were here, 2 o'clock in the morning, having scaffolding, 5 sets of scaffolding all the way, and me and Brother Merv painted that bracket all the way at the top of the auditorium. Was coming down, and Brother Merv said, I didn't want to tell you when I got up there, but I carved my initials in it. So Merv McNair's initials are carved. If I'd have seen it, I probably would have painted over it, but I didn't. I went ahead and left it at that. What a blessing. Bringing back the memories. As a church, we continue to follow God's lead because we realize it's his church. We realize that Jesus Christ has the preeminence over his church. Over the years, taking in those whom God directed here, look back over in different faces and different names, and those that have been with us since the very beginning, and those that seem like they've been a part of it since the very beginning, and continue just to make up the family of God, this Lighthouse Baptist Church. People coming in that needed the church and that the church needed to be able to accomplish the great things that we've accomplished. Winning the lost along the way, our main focus was missions. Winning the lost by taking the gospel to them. Preparing and sending out a number of pastors that have served here at this church. Pastors' wives that were raised in this church. Missionaries and missionary wives that were raised in this church, others that have gone from this location to other locations to continue to serve God through his church. What a blessing. I tell you, I'm still very excited about what God has done. Looking back over that 35 years, it just seems like it was not too long ago. They were meeting in that upper room. But then to see all the things that have been accomplished, what God has done. And then to see where we're at now and what God is doing. With having missionaries and missionary projects all around the world. Having the tremendous ministry we have here in reaching children and families. All the different things that are taking place, and it was not until really we had to shut things down to realize what all the things we were actually doing and the difference that it was we was making. So what God is doing, and I believe what God will continue to do through this church that He established. I think the most important thing that I can do and that you can do is to thank God for it. Thank God for Jesus who established His church. And then as He has saved us and He has established the Lighthouse Baptist Church and placed us here to do the work that He's called us to do, we'll be able to continue to do it together. To those that are here via the live streaming, you're a major part of this church. Thank God for the opportunity to have the live streaming so we can continue the work, and even through this, seeing how many other people we're reaching. I believe that God will continue to work through this to help us to know what we're able to continue to do. When this coronavirus is gone, we'll continue to be reaching more and more people for the cause of Christ. I thank God for the Lighthouse. The Lighthouse being the Lord Jesus Christ. And for this church representing Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow before You this afternoon. Lord, as we heard the song earlier, we do thank You for the Lighthouse of Jesus Christ and the preeminence that He has over His church, especially this church. And I pray, God, that we might continue to look to Him and let our light shine and accomplish even greater things in the years to come. Now, Father, as we've gone over this, maybe there's decisions that need to be made concerning our part in the Lighthouse. Lord, whatever it is that You might have spoke to us about, whether receiving Jesus Christ as a personal lighthouse or being a part of this church and accomplishing things that You would have us to accomplish. Pray, God, if there's decisions that need to be made, that You'd help us to make them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.